You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
A news program in Australia has had a discussion on air around who should be adopting Aboriginal children, following the statement by a member of parliament that white Australians should be allowed to take Aboriginal children. Keep in mind, this discussion is being had by three white Australians. We're just going to play the clip for some context.
A federal government minister has suggested white families be allowed to adopt abused Aboriginal children to save them from rape, assault and neglect. Currently, they can only be placed with relatives or other Indigenous families. But Children's Minister David Gillespie says relaxing the rules is a better alternative to creating an abandoned or damaged generation. It's a hot topic this morning to discuss it. We're joined by commentator Prue McSween in Sydney and Ben Davis from Radio 4BC in Brisbane. Morning to you both. Prue, I guess post-Stolen Generation there's been this huge move to leave Aboriginal children where they are, even if they're being neglected in their own families. Should white families be allowed to adopt at-risk Aboriginal children?
Oh, of course, it's a no-brainer as far as I'm concerned. You know, we can't have another generation of young Indigenous children being abused in this way, in this conspiracy of silence and this fabricated PC outlook that, you know, it's better to leave them in this dangerous environment. I mean, it's just crazy to even contemplate that people could be arguing against this.
Yeah.
I mean, we have a responsibility as human beings to care for vulnerable children, and to think that we would knowingly, then the statistics prove it, knowing that we're going to leave them in these dangerous environments is just not on. So good on you, David Gillespie, and please don't worry about the people who cry and hand wring and say that this will be another Stolen Generation, just like the first Stolen Generation, where a lot of children were taken because it was for their well-being. We need to do it again, perhaps.
Ben, there's this absolute terror amongst many bureaucrats, many of them white, that this would create a new Stolen Generation. What's the balance here?
No, I'm with Prue. Good on David Gillespie for standing up and saying what a lot of politicians would and are afraid to say because of the fear of being labelled racist. I mean, this political correct nonsense has got to go. And, you know, I take a lot of value on what Warren Mundine says. I mean, he's got the ear of Prime Ministers, and he says this is PC madness gone way too far. We need to be protecting kids. We need to be protecting Aboriginal kids and putting them back into that culture. What culture are they growing up and seeing? Well, they're getting abused, they're getting hurt, and they're getting damaged. She said this has got to change with them 100%.
Yeah, let's hope some sense prevails there. Poor kids.
Let's just reiterate that one of the women on that panel said that the Stolen Generation happened for those kids' own good. So this morning there were protests outside the studios of the news agency that broadcasted this segment, with people calling out the way this discussion represents a certain ideology prevalent in white Australia and therefore in the Australian government.
Always was, always.
Because the foster care system refuses to let her see her kids. I'm also sitting down yesterday with a woman who's been fighting for the return of her son for 4 years, and she's only now getting that son back. And you know why? Because the carer they gave her son to was abusing the son.
And their grandparents were stolen. Their parents were the subject of dox, and the deep ingrained sadness of generational trauma that has is enough to break your heart, but these racist bastards in here don't seem to care. Will we call them out on it? Was there an Aboriginal grandma on their panel? No. Was there an Aboriginal person on their panel? Have they been out and spoken with the people who have been traumatised by having their kids taken? No. And what's the overwhelming reason why child protection agencies use to take Aboriginal kids? It's not child abuse or violence. It's a judgment call based on neglect. They're taking Aboriginal kids primarily because of the systemic poverty and the housing crisis and the unemployment that is a part of Aboriginal life in 2018. Don't take their kids. Let's give Aboriginal people self-determination, houses, jobs and a future in this country.
Yes.
We'll hear more about this later, hopefully during Neighbourhood Watch, but given the news segment itself didn't bother to speak with anybody who's directly affected by this matter, I myself decided to talk to a member of the Grandmothers Against Removal group from Australia who are advocating for the return of Aboriginal children to their families.
My name is Sue Ellen Tai. I'm a Gimilaroi woman from northwestern New South Wales, and I'm an affected grandmother where my grandchildren were removed in 2012, so I've been actively involved in this arena for 6 years now.
So what is Grandmothers Against Removals?
It's a Grandmothers Against Removals is a movement that started in Gimilaroi country, actually, where Aboriginal children were being removed, and that's not a new thing, honestly, but what's happening is just now that it's becoming so prevalent. It's the manner of the removals and how they're, you know, they're quite traumatic on families and kids, especially the kids. They're very traumatic. You know, kids are being dragged out of their homes by their feet, you know, crying. Kids are being removed at 1 o'clock in the morning. You know, kids are being removed with police. Whether their guns are holstered or not is not the point. It's very, very traumatic. And so this is came about, the GMAL movement came about because the grandmothers were being, you know, personally affected by this, and through the system of care and protection, us as grandmothers were being automatically deemed unsuitable to take on and assume the care of these children, our grandchildren. So, you know, and that's how the movement was born out of many things, but that's the process of how this new movement of Grandmothers Against Removals was being brought to the fore.
And what is the situation at the moment in terms of how many children are being removed? It has been termed as a second stolen generation, is that right?
Yeah, some people are using the term second stolen generation, but we tend to say, we believe that it's not a second stolen generation, it's a continuation of the stolen generation. It's nothing's changed in that sense. There's not been one day in Australian history where an Aboriginal child hasn't been removed. So there was not an actual period where the removal of Aboriginal children based on race has actually ceased.
There is, you know, legislation at the moment that states that Aboriginal children should be placed with Aboriginal families in their communities. Is that correct?
Yeah, there is, and that exists within the Care and Protection Act. Section 13 is called the Aboriginal Placement Principle, and that exists in the Care and Protection Act. There's also a section of consultation with Aboriginal families. There's also a section on self-determination. So they exist within the Care and Protection Act, but none of those are being adhered to. They're being not applied, misapplied, or not being applied in the true meaning of those sections of the Act. So what we're finding is they're just, in particular with the Aboriginal Placement Principle, they've got a staged process, which is, you know, extended family and then Aboriginal family, Aboriginal communities, and then Aboriginal foster care, and then non-Aboriginal foster care. But we're finding that the children are going straight to non-Aboriginal foster care.
So when there was a news segment this week on Australian National Television where you have three white people talking about why it's okay for Aboriginal children to go to white families, what's the issue with this?
Paternalistic, and it truly reflects the situation in Australia today, or the paternalist nation towards Aboriginal people. Who is best to comment on, you know, the issues around Aboriginal people and how best to address any issues are Aboriginal people. It is, well, haven't we learnt from, you know, the past with the stolen generations and the bringing them home report and the Aboriginal deaths in custody, haven't we learned from that removal of these children and placing them in, either institutionalising them or putting them in the white out-of-home care system, it's not working, and it didn't work in the past, and the bringing them home report clearly states that. And it's it's like they're ignoring all of these pre-existing commissions, royal commissions. So it's, to me, to have white people sitting there talking about Aboriginal children in such a detached manner is like thoroughly disgraceful. It is, because they are so detached from it, they're not even aware of what's facing Aboriginal communities and Aboriginal kids, especially in the out-of-home care system.
One of the women in the segment said that the stolen generation, those kids were removed for their own benefit. She implied that there was they were removing them because they were in, you know, unsafe or whatever it may be situations, and they were removed for into care.
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
First of all, my question is, who defines benefit? Who in those cases defined benefit? It was the paternalistic, uninformed, unempathetic government of the time. And that hasn't changed. They're still uninformed, they're unempathetic. And it is, to actually say that they're removed for their own benefit, I'm pretty sure if you spoke to the people from, you know, from the stolen generation era, of which is, I say that because that's the term that's been given to that time slot now, is that protection era, is I'm sure that they wouldn't see it as a benefit. So to have this rhetoric that has no meaning around saying but remove them for their own benefit, when obviously, you know, people are coming out of that system traumatised for the rest of their lives. So how is that a benefit? How is removing children from their families, putting them into institutions such as Kudamundra Girls Home and Kinchula Boys and Parramatta Homes, how is that for their benefit? I just don't see that. To train them up to be labour staff for white people, how is that for anyone's benefit?
Mm.
Yeah.
And if you look historically, in a sense, there are a number of other issues socially, politically, economically that are facing Aboriginal communities, and this kind of approach, like you say, this detached manner of simply thinking about, in quote marks, the children, where you just remove them from that situation, it doesn't even begin to attempt to address any of those other issues.
It is just that, first of all, we have to acknowledge that most Aboriginal people in Australia live under the poverty line, so that's a very, very important thing, and we don't hear that talked about much. We don't hear anything talking, we don't hear any talk or any political strategies or any initiatives or any new initiatives about how do we raise the standard of living of Aboriginal people in Australia. We don't hear that being discussed. All we hear is, you know, we need to take more, like this draconian attitude now that we need to take more Aboriginal kids and adopt them out to white families for their own benefit. So we don't hear the discussion about poverty. We don't hear about that people are living in communities where they have, you know, where they haven't had new housing for over 30 years, where they cut employment programs such as the Community Development Employment Program, which is the CDEP, commonly known here, where they cut those, and so then there's no employment and there's no gainful employment. We're talking about rural communities who don't have access to services. So they're putting these communities and just leaving them out there to languish. They cut the funding that goes into these communities. They actually do not fulfil their responsibility as an Australian government to provide adequate housing and access to services and employment for Aboriginal Australians in the communities. And I think that's where the discussion needs to be, because if we can affect change in those areas, I think just we would see a drop in kids entering into the care system, because they are the things that they're using now to remove kids.
Is there anything else you want to add?
I think I'd just like to say that it is a thorough disgrace that Australian politicians and such as those ones who were on that television show, the three uninformed white Australians who felt that they had the right to make comment regarding Aboriginal people. I think it's a thorough disgrace that people are making political mileage out of young kids and families' trauma. It's shameful. And it's a disgrace that in 2018, more than 20 years after the Bringing Them Home report and the Aboriginal Deaths in Custody report, and also 10 years after the Kevin Rudd apology, that politicians can make these uninformed comments lacking in empathy and good old-fashioned humanity, not to mention common sense. And comments such as have been made in the press recently, it's a reflection of Australia's paternalistic and racist treatment of Aboriginal and Indigenous people of Australia. I think this is Australia's great shame, in all honesty. It is a shame and it's a stain on our society today. It is absolutely disgraceful. We believe that no child should be in an unsafe environment, and that includes care and protection in the out-of-home care system in Australia, because there are deaths happening, there are young girls who are becoming pregnant within the system. There are, you know, tragically, there's children who aren't with us anymore from within that system. But what we don't see is any prosecutorial action being taken when there's been negligence on behalf of the government of Australia.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.